Cardi, we're getting to the warmer season. It's getting colder over in the States and in Arnburn, wherever Danny's heading. We don't know where it is.
Probably not how you say it.
That's definitely not it. But close enough is good enough in my books. That's why we're happy to be looked after downstairs by Men, Australia's number one grooming brand, Nut Care. Proudly Australian, Nut Care is taking Down Under Grooming to the modern day man. Recently voted number one by Men's Health Magazine with Bearnut's Pubic Hair Removal Cream. Nut Care's revolutionising male grooming. As proud supporters of us at any given Sunday, Nut Care is offering our listeners 10% off in their first orders simply using our code, as it is with all of our sponsors. Any given Sunday, use that at the checkout and the discount will be applied. Nut Care is essential grooming for men.
Brown 45! Brown 45! Hot, 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 hot!
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in at least three households, one studio, Gridiron Australia headquarters, NFL Australia headquarters, the NFL flag headquarters, up in Winnipeg and Montreal. Congratulations to Montreal for getting the W in the Grey Cup. Where else are we? We haven't had any interviews lately, so that's pretty much it where we're number one, mate. Just as long as we're growing, that's all good. And wherever, I couldn't say the word, but wherever Danny is heading today, the number one, he's in Denmark, isn't he? That was what he said to us, yeah. So
he's absolutely butchered the name. I think it's Aarhus, we'll pronounce it, Aarhus.
Yeah, I was running off the top of my head. So as you heard, as always, joining us down in his basement, TC24 at Tim Carty, AGSAU. How are you, mate?
I'm good, brother. Going very well. Happy to be here, as always.
I do appreciate the little message in the chat, but I will back myself. I did remember this time. I was just working.
You definitely didn't.
No, I did. I just had to do what I had to do to start with. I had the ad read, and I thought it was probably one of my better ones recently, which is saying a lot.
I couldn't hear half of it because it was delayed. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
That's good.
That's all back end stuff.
Yeah, exactly. As always, head over to our link tree. DAZN has got Thanksgiving specials. So it's only getting cheaper, Dan's in DAZN. So really do yourself a favor heading into the playoffs. There's all the 360s, E60s. You get the games in 40, you get all everything. It's really is cherry ripe. But you also find our merch store there. Up on our Twitter, you'll see some of the jumpers that I've made. Make sure you get yourself kitted out as we head into the warmer summer. Get it out with some fresh jumpers.
Oh, winter if you're overseas.
Yes, we do send overseas, so make sure you hit that up. We've got a quick one tonight. There's a little bit going on that we're going to have to talk about, an injury that is not some great news for us, New Orleans Saint, but we will get on to that. And, of course, we'll get straight into it. It's brought to you our Dr. Danny. Do we play the Dr. Danny? Because he's not here.
Yes. Always.
All right. Well, so Dr. Danny's brought to us, I'll say it now, brought to us by our good friends at C2C Rare Threads. Same as Nut Care. The code is Any Given Sunday at the checkout. You'll get 10%. I believe you get extra off on their shoes, which is an incredible offer. But before we get into the actual discussion.
Dr. Danny's office.
Dr. Danny's out, but we've got Nurse Cardi in. But I'm actually going through. Nurse McMillan is having a chat about what has happened for our New Orleans Saints wide receiver, Michael Thomas. Today, he was placed on IR, which is a shame. So he'll be out for the next 4 weeks, but he will be eligible for a return in week 16 against the Rams if he's all good. He's out with a knee injury. It doesn't say... they've actually talked about an ankle injury, so it's funny that he's gone on for a knee injury. But he's had a wretched couple of years. He signed a massive $100 million deal in 2019, which he actually then went out to be named the Offensive Player of the Year that year with 149 catches. It was a huge year. I remember it well. But since then, he had ankle surgery before the 2021 season, which pretty much kept him out, I think, for the whole season, Cards. Then he played three games. Then he played three games in the 2022 season, but dislocated his toe in the third game and ended up missing the rest of the season. So he's had a wretched time. He has played 10 games this season for 39 catches and 448 yards. Not ideal timing for the Saints, mate.
No, and it's unlucky for him as well, because it was complications with his recovery that caused him to miss the whole year in 2021. Then gets unlucky, dislocates the toe. He did sign a 5-year, $100 million deal before the 2019 season. So that'll be still current next year?
Yeah, so they reworked at the start of this season. He's pretty much on a 1-year deal, $10 million, could be up to 15. But the end of this season, he'll either have to rework another deal or he'll be a free agent.
Yeah, and like you said, bad timing, particularly for him, but for the Saints, who they're on top in the NFC South, which is, it's a pretty tight division at the moment from first to third, with the Bucs and the Falcons both 4-6, and then the Saints on top 5-5. So, tough little stretch, missing they're probably their number one wide receiver there. But good news is they're expecting him back. So he'll do his 4 weeks, because he's committed to IR now. So he'll do his 4 weeks and then hopefully get him back cherry ripe in time for, at the moment, looking like a playoffs berth. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it does, like you said, the number one. He probably hasn't. Marquez Callaway, I think, had a more productive season, but you need Michael Thomas there for Callaway to have that kind of season, I think. Now they're just going to double team him. It's going to make it tough. But your old mate, Derek Carr, I'm sure he'll work it out. And definitely tough losing such a high end receiver.
Yeah, for sure. And you feel for him, like, being pretty injury prone. It just sucks to see him missing more games this year after the pretty shocking run that he's had in the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Some news that's come out. I shared on our socials today. Tom Brady. I'm not sure what the actual interview was or where it was. You might be able to talk a bit more about that. But he's come out and said,
pretty sure it was on a potty. It was on a potty.
Okay.
He's open to going on potties.
Yeah, and we've had a good discussion about it just before. What has he come out and said, and why has he come out and said it, you reckon?
Well, so he's come out and said that today's NFL or today's football is essentially, I think he used the word mediocre.
Yes.
And he went on to explain that he feels like the rule changes in the last few years have led to, was it him that said led to bad habits? I'm pretty sure he said it's led to bad habits and things like that. So, talking about the onus used to be on the offensive players to protect themselves, not on the defensive player to make a call on where their hitbox is or where their hit zone is and adjust. Like, it used to be on the offensive players. And he said, he wouldn't throw balls in the middle if it was going to put his players at risk and things like that. So he's saying with rule changes and the things that have come about, the game is essentially a bit mediocre. And it does scream of a little bit, old man yells at cloud, back in my day, the game was at this, you know what I mean? Like, the game was like this back in my day. And he's only not even a year removed from the game. But I was talking to a mate, and I were listening to, heard his comments this morning. We were talking, and he's got his contract with Fox, which is going to be starting next year. So it feels to me like he's doing a little bit more media. I think he's on a weekly podcast at the moment. He's doing a bit more media stuff. It just feels like maybe he's just building a bit of what his media persona is going to be next year. And like, he's making those sorts of comments and things like that. Cause I think like, during his career, like, he would always do press conferences and things like that, but I don't think he would ever go above and beyond in the media in terms of making any sort of like controversial comments or things like that. So maybe it's just in prep for next year. He's sort of building up a bit of a persona and that sort of thing. But that's kind of where I thought maybe he was coming from with that sort of stuff.
But definitely just making sure that everyone knows who he is, which I don't think there was many podcasts getting around during his career, but you're right. He didn't go out into the media and
too much extra stuff. And it's not overly controversial what he's saying. Like, a lot of people echo that sentiment that these rule changes are hurting the game and, it's trending towards going to be flag football before we know it and all that sort of stuff, which, it won't ever be that. But wasn't overly controversial, but definitely headline grabbing because it's Tom Brady, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's come out because of the Kareem Jackson, the safety out of Denver. So he's been hit with a 4-game and it's been upheld, the suspension. I saw the hit that he laid on. It was Josh Dobbs of the Minnesota Vikings. He definitely lowered his helmet and absolutely piled right in. So
it looked shocking. So
yeah, because I'm not sure that that's making the game weak by
isn't his third offense. Like, yeah, exactly. Standing out that sort of stuff, that's not making the game weaker. And like, that's not what Tom said. I don't think that's what he was alluding to about it being weaker. Like, I think no player or former player will disagree that you got to protect the players and, you know, remove those sort of hits that are more inclined for head injuries and like that sort of stuff. But I think he was just referring to it's changing it and it's letting bad habits creep in, was what his quote was.
He went on to say that, you know, coaches aren't having a go at players for making those mistakes. They're having a go at refs for allowing the player. Is like, if you get tackled and you lost the ball, it's on you. You should be protecting the ball better. And
yeah,
I think that's what he was leaning towards, the bad habits of, you know, instead of being my fault, it was the ref's fault or the other player's fault, ref wanting to penalise him. And he did go on to say, you know, if I was playing against Ray Lewis, you know, the great Baltimore Raider,
yeah, I'll throw it over the middle. He referred to Ray because he's like, he's going to knock that player out of the game. Not knock him out like concussed, he's going to take him out of the game with whatever way they may get injured. So he's not putting the ball there. But
because I'm not playing over the middle, he will, he'll put him out. And I can't afford to lose him during the game. So,
I
do agree with a lot of his saying that, in a way, because we have to look after players. The health and, you know, CTE and all those things coming out now.
Players' health's got to come first.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know,
it's still a contact sport. Like, you know, you can still get the big hits.
There's definitely some big hits. But like you said, the fact that Tom Brady's the one who said it, it's going to make some news headlines, even down here in Australia. And if he wants to come on, he can reach out by all means. We'll let him on and come on and then, you know, spread his.
We'll have him on. We'll just have to approve him in the DMs and then, we'll tap to his people.
We'll approve. We'll have a chat to him first.
He can talk to our people.
The other story to come out, which is probably a little bit bigger, we should have started with it. Matt Canada, the OC, former OC, now part of the pool of coaches that are being paid without coaching. Been fired from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, which did we literally talk about this last ep or ep or two ago?
We talked about how he's in the hot seat, I reckon, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we're referring to him being in the hot seat. But, it's come out. I think initial reports were that the owner or the interim owner or the acting owner, whatever his title is at the moment, Artie something, he fired him. But then Mike Tomlin came out in his press conference and said, I was the one that removed him. It was my decision. It's not easy. I don't like
good
doing
head
it.
Coach. Good head coach.
Yeah, because it looks like I'm shifting the blame. And so he, you know, he didn't love doing it, but just there was so much noise and so much pressure from what is a massively passionate fan base. And like, you know, the evidence was there. They were just struggling on offense.
Wow, they were 28th in points per game, 28th in yards per game.
Yeah.
And I reckon they were close to the bottom in yards per play or something like that. So
it just wasn't cutting it. So something had to give. Tomlin's not going to go. Kenny Pickett's not going to go. They're at least going to see the year out with him, that, you know, for sure. So unfortunately, Matt Canada was the one that was copping all the heat. And it's the buck stopped with him, and he's been let go.
Yeah, so it will be a discussion for the next episode of who else is in the hot seat, I think.
And you got to think if they won against the Browns on the weekend, it probably maybe delays this.
Well, that does it
decision a little bit, maybe.
Depending, you know. It was a 10-13 game. So,
but if you win, like if you're winning,
yeah, winning covers things, doesn't it?
Makes a difference. Yeah, it's such a results. Oriented business or results driven business, and like Mike Tomlin referred to that as well. There wasn't in Canada's tenure that he said that there wasn't improvement or enough improvement, or what did he say? It was like enough rapid improvement, or you know, over his tenure. So, just the results weren't there.
And do we? I'm just getting up now. If you can fluff for a second, we know who's actually stepped in as the
I believe it's going to be their quarterback coach. His name escapes me because. He's obviously going to be familiar, or Kenny's going to be familiar with him. Kenny Pickett, name is escaping me as you quickly speed read. But yeah,
quarterback coach. Speed reading as fast as I can, but it doesn't say. We're going to say the QB coach is the one who's going to step in. So.
Yeah.
Here we go. Mike Sullivan will be calling a ball for the plays.
We got there.
Yeah, good on him. Good luck to Mike Sullivan. If he can make a fist of it, you never know what happens to him.
Yeah, mate. Well, and. Bit of noise. Well, there was a little bit of noise getting thrown Kenny's way. So this is going to be his time to, he's going to have to perform Hello, Danny. Jumped in the
chat.
I just had a look.
Do we have anyone in the YouTube chats, mate?
Hello, mate. New first-time listener?
First-time listener, long-time caller.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so Kenny's going to have to perform because now Canada's been removed. It's almost like that excuse is gone.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember.
We've said the whole time, though, that it's the defense is holding this team together.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because they've been doing nothing on offense.
Yeah, correct. And they showed that in the weekend with a, you know, 13-10 loss, but 13-10 against the Browns. So we're going to get straight in. Hopefully Danny is still there because we are about to talk about his birds. He can listen to our talk about it, but we'll go through the rest of the games quickly before we speak of the birds. It started last Friday for us with the Ravens getting a 34-20 to win over the Bengals. My Packers.
Believe it or not.
23-20 win. And I don't understand how, but we are in all of those, you know, chance of making the playoffs
in the hunt.
The Packers are still holding on, which, hey, I've looked at our schedule. I've got us going 5-2 for the rest of the season. So,
yeah. You're 4-6. So,
You never know. The Browns, like we said, 13-10 over the Steelers. Texans just getting Texan job done, 21-16 over the Cards. Jags bouncing back well, 34-14 over the Titans.
Yeah,
Dolphins just getting the job done, but probably more than enough, 20-13 over your Raiders.
I was surprised my boys were that close and actually had a chance to tie it at the end. But
anyway. Yes, but a shame. Dolphins, so we just said that. Cowboys, 33-10 over the Panthers. Giants, 31-19 over the Commanders, which is an upset, I'd say.
Absolutely.
Nice, we agree. 49ers, 27-14 over the Bucks. Bills in an upset, 32-6 over the Jets. Rams, probably another upset, 17-16 over the Seahawks.
That's an upset.
And Broncos, definite upset, 21. Oh, no, they were favourite. Definitely not an upset. 21-20 over the Vikings, which was actually a pretty good game in the end.
Yeah, they were favourite.
We were both in agreement that they shouldn't have been as heavily favourite, but they proved us wrong and got the win. So we've picked two games to speak about. The first one I got to see a majority of. The second one, unfortunately, I was doing some drills at work and I didn't get to see, so I'm going to rely on you a little bit. The Bears. The Bears and the Lions. Did you get to see much of this game? Because it was actually a tightly contested contest. And the... Well, it probably wasn't really right up until the end of the game. The Lions,
it wasn't, which I got to see the end. I got to see pretty much the Lions come back, not from as far back as what they did. I pretty much saw mainly the final drive, which was
okay. So sweet, I can talk about the rest. So they looked, they moved the ball really well, the Lions, but in the first three and a bit quarters, they turned the ball over too many times. There was three interceptions. And a couple of them just looked real shoddy, where they just missed, you know, some bad throws where he just, the second one especially, I can't think of his name, but he literally hit him in the chest. Like, it was just straight down the guts.
Anzalone.
He had a crossing route from St. Brown and, not St. Brown. Yeah, it was St. Brown. But, like, just some of the throws, and they were a bit fumbly as well. Anzalone is a Detroit Lion, so it definitely wasn't thrown to him. But yeah, like,
who are you talking about?
And the Bears were. No, I'm talking about Goff. Goff threw three interceptions. It was just not his best first three and a half quarters. He finished off the game really well.
Maybe he threw it to Anzalone.
No, Anzalone's a defender. So disregard what I was saying there. I was thinking maybe Fields. No, he didn't have an interception. I did. But Fields, no, he looked really good. Was happy to throw the deep ball. He got a DJ Moore, scored his first touchdown in...
He got over 100 yards on his own legs.
Yeah, really? and was rushing the ball quite well because it was his first game back after a couple of weeks off. They had Sargent, can't think of his name, their backup was in for a few weeks. So I think a lot of Chicago fans were actually pretty excited to have Fields back. And for the first three and a bit quarters, he was looking... You know, he was looking the goods. He went 16-23 for 169 with a touchdown. But like you said, 18 carries for 104 yards, which he was definitely their highest rusher. DJ Moore, 7 receptions for 96, and then really spread it out from there. Mooney went for 24. Cole Kmet went 3 for 20. Equanimeous St. Brown went 2 for 19.
Had the brothers in the game?
Yeah, it was quite a few brothers, I think. Was it this game or one of the other games? Had 3 sets of brothers. Maybe that was the Browns, and doesn't matter. I'm getting off. But, yeah, Goff, 23 of 35, 236, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And I reckon there was a couple. There was 2 fumbles. 1 was recovered. Anzalone was a fumble. There you go. Oh, he recovered a fumble. But Craig Reynolds also lost a fumble. So, but St. Brown, he did go 8 receptions for 77. Jamar Gibbs, he's just ticking along. He had 6 receptions for 59 to go with 8 rushes for 36. Montgomery back as well, 12 carries for 76. So they're rushing. They went over 115. They look good on the rush, but like I said, Goff just kept throwing the ball away, doing like old school Goff things, where this year he's looked so stable and so in control with his offense, just moving him down the field. But he just kept giving the Bears a chance and they just kept taking it right up until the very end. And like, I think it was 4 minutes to go and they were down 17 to 26. And then they went on 2 good drives. You saw the last one, so you could probably talk me through the last one a bit more than I didn't actually see the last one. I saw the second last one. But I pretty much turned it off thinking game over, but not the case.
Well, yeah, they were gone for all money too. Like the Chicago defense, I think they're maybe one of the top 3 rated against the run.
Yep.
The rushing game, I want to say, in the league, which is surprising. So the even though that they did have, what like you said, over 100 yards of rushing offense, the Lions, you'd probably expect them of a normal game to have a bit more. Maybe that's why they struggled a bit until they're sort of towards the end of the game there. But Montgomery definitely came into it those last couple of drives as well. I'm pretty sure
he scored the go-ahead too.
Yeah, he did. They got a safety at the end off the back of Aiden Hutchinson too, who did an awesome little punt after he grabbed the ball. He booted the shit out of it up into the stand, so that was pretty cool. But the talk has been about this is the same old Lions thing. This would have been a game that traditionally they would have been in the Bears' position. They would have been in front and they would have choked and they would have lost it. So all the talks about this brand new Lions, the MCDC Lions, they show that grit and determination and belief, I think, is the biggest thing. Like the belief and Goff unwavering after the probably not a great, especially first half, that 3 quarters, had the 3 interceptions, and to come back in the last and just clutch it out and that game-winning drive, and then the defense to come up and get the safety at the end there as well. This is the everyone's talking about the brand new Lions.
8-2, those brand new Lions, but they are running into an absolute wagon in the Packers.
Their division now.
Yeah, I can't. Well, the Vikings are hanging in there, but
they're hanging in there, but
especially after Detroit, right? Like I said, running into an absolute wagon this week, so might be a bit tough for them. The other game was yesterday's Eagles Chiefs game, and from it, like I said, I didn't get to see it. I have watched some highlights, but it was only a quick highlights package on DAZN. Make sure you check it out. 21-17 for the win. So Danny was very happy with it. He said they were in front for all of the last quarter, but Kansas had it. And they did. I do know they had a chance to win it with Valdez-Scantling dropping a ball going deep into – he would have walked in.
I would have been down, but they would have been right at
– well, if he was down, he was down at the 3 or 4 yard line. But Hurts, yeah. 14 of 22 for 150 – pretty stock standard, 12 carries for 29 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm imagining most of them would have been, brotherly shoves.
It was a brotherly shove, yeah.
Yeah, didn't throw a touchdown, but it did have an interception. So he is still prone to giving the ball up, Hurts. Is that something they have to really be worried about going deep into it?
It's only one. I mean,
did he have a fumble?
You're up against Kansas City. So,
he did have a fumble, but he recovered it.
Fumble 2D, but he recovered it. So that's okay. So he's only had the one turnover. He rushed for a really good touchdown, and then they had the brotherly shove was the game winner towards the end there after that huge hoik down the field to Devonta Smith.
The game too. 6 receptions, 99 yards. Breakout year if he hasn't already for him.
Yeah. And huge, huge catch down the field. Pretty awesome throw from Yalen. But the Chiefs, they didn't put on any points in the second half, which might be the not the biggest story, but maybe the bigger issue.
I did say they haven't scored in the second half.
Conditions were a bit like it was raining. Like it was hard to tell, but you could tell they flicked to one camera and it looked really foggy. And yuck, and then we'll go back to another camera and it was like full HD and I didn't realize what was going on. And then until I saw a close up of a player's helmet and it had raindrops on it. So I was like, oh, it must be shocking conditions. But so maybe
it does suggest that like Mahomes 24 of 43 for 177.
Yeah.
Did throw two touchdowns, but had also had an interception. So Pacheco had a game, 19 carries for 89 yards in that kind of weather's a good day out.
Lots of drop passes too, which Danny, good point from Danny in the chat.
Cool. Thank you, Danny. Anything you want to add, feel free to put it in and Karts can relay. But was Taylor Swift there? Because Kelsey only had 7 receptions for 44 yards.
Did he get a touchdown? As well. It was unlucky because it was awesome punch out from the defensive player because he pretty much had both hands on the ball and whoever was defensive player just got his hand in perfectly and it was a little fumble there for Kelsey. So not great for his stats. I don't know if Tay-Tay was in the stands or not. Not sure.
He must have been watching at least because that's not – well, if he's just missed out, you got 2 touchdowns, probably not a bad day. But, yeah, is there – how much worry are you from the Kansas City Chiefs side, Karts? You're getting a loss at home in a big, big game. Or was this just another blip in the radar? You know, 7-3, they're still right up there.
It's still not panic stations. They're playing – probably arguably the best team at the moment. And come away with a little hiccup of it, you know, no points scored in there. They had their chances. They just dropping catches. If they fix up those drop catches, different game. Yeah. Totally different game. Like they definitely left some points out there. So not overly worried if you're a Chiefs fan, I don't think.
Yeah. In horrible conditions as well. You're probably not going to get that. Well, you're not going to get that in Vegas. So if you get there, you'll be fine. I do see that Megs has just put on the chat that her birds are going to crush Danny's in 3 weeks' time. So that's definitely something we should keep an eye on. I don't have a question without notice for you, but I'm just thinking one now. It's not really a question without notice.
Before we move on, because we just finished results, we should get into Lock of the Week because that would
close. This will lead straight into Lock of the Week, so don't stress. It'll be a quick one.
Wow.
I just want to know which bird do you have as the number one at the moment in the league. So do you have the Eagles or the Ravens?
Eagles.
See, I reckon the Ravens. I'd put a Ravens Eagles up there as being the best. But Eagles. Anyway, the number one segment is our LOTW hashtag.
Hashtag LOTW.
What do we got?
Which is great that Danny's in the chat because we talked about it when you put your lock in, Danny. You can't have the same team 2 weeks in a row. We've let you go for this week because you had the Cowboys back-to-back weeks, which you were successful this week. So you've moved on to total of 6. Macca, you went for a little bit of spice. You took the Steelers. It was a brave decision. I liked it. Didn't pay off for you. So you're just stuck on 7. Charlie took the Lions. So he would have been a little bit nervous towards the end of that game as well, but he got away with one. Not got away with one, but he had the win there. So he moves up to 6. And I took the Jags. Just because I know football and I knew Trev and the Jags were going to bounce back and they've absolutely stormed all over the top of whoever it was that they played. But they won there and they...
Titans.
The Titans, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We knew. So Danny, Charlie, myself have all moved up to 6 and you're on 7. So we're coming for you.
All right. No more.
No more same team 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, do not pick the same team. Charlie knows it. He's already been stung with it earlier in the year, but...
Yeah.
Yes, no more, Danny.
Good.
All right, we'll move on to this week. And we actually had to allow a little bit of time for this week's discussion of teams. Well, the early discussion, I should say, because it's actually Thanksgiving and there's 3 games on Friday. So, and we actually have a game Saturday, which we might be able to quickly touch on as well. But first game, 6:30 in the morning, I believe, for us, is my Packers versus Detroit Lions.
I think we're looking at 4:30 in the morning, mate, so not as friendly, unfortunately, 4:30 a.m.
Perfect. That's what I wanted.
Because they switched the games out, so they're all standalone games, I think.
Which I do like. It's a great day. It's a really great day.
Yeah, so do you want to get the game? Yeah, later game. Yeah.
Yeah. If you can grab Meg's, just giving me a bit of grief in the chat, she can go and get stuffed. Can you get the lineup for me, mate, and for these games? But the 64% of the cash is on the Lions, so I'm presuming they are well and truly favourites.
Well, if you've got half a brain, you'd assume, yes, the Lions are definitely favourites.
Yes, it is in Detroit as well. This is their game every year. They have the Thanksgiving game every year.
There's 7.5-point line favouring the Lions. Yeah.
Who are you picking?
You are coming off the back of a nice little win. Probably, like we said, maybe a little bit of a surprise.
Yep, probably.
Yeah. Jordan Love's had a bit of a game over 300 yards, but I'm absolutely taking the Lions at 7.5 there.
Yeah, we do have Aaron Jones went out early, MCL scare.
I forgot about that. So,
and he's not picked to get up, I don't think, especially on a short week. I think it's a pretty good line. I reckon just because they've already beaten us comfortably this season, but I reckon we fire up and we might not get the W, but we'll cover. So Danny said, smash the line. Lions will take it. You can get stuffed as well. But I'm going to take my boys at the line, but I reckon Detroit will get the job done.
Okay.
Next game, Washington at Dallas. This one I do see Dallas. They are flat track bullies. I imagine it's quite a big line. They are flat track bullies, and I reckon they could, at home, they will cover the line. 85% of the money is with Dallas.
Line is 11 points to the Cowboys here, which
that's a lot of points, though, isn't it?
That's a lot of points. And
they have problems? No, they're pretty healthy,
Divisional game. Like, the Commanders have kind of, they've won a few games that we probably didn't expect this year. It's a lot of points.
That is so many points. That's two touchdowns. But results.
I take that back. Looking at their schedule, they haven't really beaten anyone. They've beaten the Cardinals, the Broncos earlier when they were still stinking it up, and that was even a tight game. The Falcons and then the Patriots. So they haven't really beaten anyone this year. So I take that back. Coming off a loss to the Giants, who are terrible.
Yeah, if you look at Dallas's last five, they beat Chargers by 3, Rams by 23. They lost to the Eagles.
Right? They're just starting to launch.
And then they went, 30 points to the Giants and 23 to Carolina. So really, 11's probably a bit light.
You know what? I'm taking the Cowboys at 11.
Flat track bullies, I'm on with you.
Yeah, I love it.
49ers at the Seahawks. This one could be a sneaky good game. Meigs won't be happy us talking about it. But another divisional game.
Injury cloud around Geno, possibly. Ooh. He went back into the game, but
it says questionable, but also Kenneth Walker's questionable and DK Metcalf is questionable.
Mate, three of their most important players on offense, arguably.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Tyler Lockett's in that combo too, but so the line's only at seven points, which I think that's pretty friendly to the Seahawks.
Geno, Meek says Geno will be back, Cards. So,
okay, well. That being said, I'm still going to take the 49ers at -7, I think.
Especially when you look at the season-leading stats. You've got Geno, obviously, the quarterback. Kenneth Walker is their biggest rushing, and Metcalf is their...
DK and Kenneth Walker not playing. So, yeah, definitely give me the 49ers.
Yeah, Purdy's just kind of bringing himself back. 73% of the cash is with the Niners. I imagine that's at the line. At head-to-head.
Purdy coming off a game of a perfect passer rating. First one
probably
to do
should
that.
Have mentioned that. It's the first time since, 1997 that a...
Joe Cool?
Yes. I would imagine it was something like that. 158.3, which is an incredible game by him.
Why that number is a perfect passer rating, that's strange, but anyway.
It's all about maths.
No, I get it. It's just weird that's how it ends
up. It's stupid maths. We will quickly just mention, last one, Dolphins at the Jets. I love so many divisional games. The money
is... We did it for Thanksgiving weekend.
What are the odds? Keep everyone close to home. What is stupid?
Crazy.
81% of the money is with the Dolphins. Zach Wilson, I believe, has been benched. So the... Did they say who was starting? They did. Shit.
New fluff? I'll find it.
Can't remember who it was. A couple of New York. Quincy Williams is questionable. And Becton, the offensive
tackle. Tim Boyle's listed as the starter.
Okay, former Packer.
Trevor Siemian is the backup. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's gone straight down to third, which is huge.
Yeah.
But all of the money is with Miami, even though it is in New York. What is the line?
The line there is 9.5 to the Dolphins, which we know there can be a bit of an offensive juggernaut. You get the cheater, let him loose. I don't as good as the New York defense can be.
Yeah.
They get that running game going too with Mostert, and they don't stand a chance. They're shambles at the moment.
All of the talk in the chat is fins up as well, and I think
I'm taking the Dolphins at 9.5.
Yeah, perfect. Quack. Agreed. All right, mate. Good stuff. Go the Packers. We'll talk about your Raiders on probably Sunday again when we get back on. But my boys, get the job done in Detroit, just to shock everyone and shock the league, and we'll be back in the playoffs.
All right, timestamp this. What are we? We're looking at 35 minutes. No worries.
All right, see you to Megs and Danny. Enjoy.
Thanks for jumping in the chat, you guys.
Arnhouse, is that what we're going with?
Arnhouse.
Yeah, you've more travelled than I am.
I might find it on the map in a minute, actually.
Good luck. Everyone will be going
there. I just found it. I can see it. There we go.
Denmark. It's the second biggest place in Denmark, if you didn't know that.
It's on the map.
I already knew that. So, all right, guys. Love your work. Go the Packers. Speak to you Sunday.
Thanks, fam. See ya.